Well, I don't know if this is proper to say. I signed a contract with Gary, with Maranatha, to wear this shirt. I get $10 million a year. So I asked for the same thing LeBron gets for wearing Nike underwear. Or I mean the shorts, the compression shorts. He signed a contract. I helped him. I don't know if I told you. I helped him learn basketball. He signed a contract with, this is true, I'll tell you when things are a lie, $10 million a year for the rest of his life. When he's my age and your age, which are about the same, he'll still be getting $10 million for wearing Nike shorts. He'll say to his wife, I'm coming to bed now, honey, but I have my Nike compression shorts on. That's $10 million. So I don't know how long this goes. Is this for life?
I'm not sure. I have to check this fine print.
Yeah. Good luck with the board on this one, too. Well, last night was kind of a workshop. I said we would take a few questions. I don't want to argue and don't want anyone to make a speech, but I'm sure that there were some things I said that you'd like to say, well, what did you mean by that, or maybe not, but on God's voice in today's world, or some cautions. I'm giving some cautions, but I know he can speak to anyone he wants, and that I know that he told that pilot to turn the plane toward New Guinea, and they saved a life. I know that the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and that's God, and that he guides us. My cautions have been about waiting for God to say something when he already has and being careful about the voices that we do hear in our heads, because we're always talking to ourselves. And conscience is one of the most glamorous or gorgeous or complicated gifts that he's given. And he speaks to us through our conscience if it's enlightened by the Word of God. But I always hate when people say, any clarifications I can make or questions, and then keeps talking. Yes, the lady over here, Mrs. Larson. If this is that same question you asked me this morning, I don't think you should ask it here. Yeah, it's great to dress alike. We don't eat together ever, but we dress alike. She always eats on the porch, and I eat in the dining room, and that way we get to know other people. Nobody ever comes. So no questions? Are we good? I'm glad to go on. All right. Man, I thought you'd challenge me in that one where I said, God never speaks to singers. That was just a joke. That's good. What a friend of singers. That's good. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1 as we try to think that through. Hebrews chapter 1, God's voice. Thank you for being such a good group to talk to and to be with. Yes. I'm going to be careful about how I say the last word, but I mean it I'll try to say how I mean it. Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, this sounds like Star Wars. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. His Son, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Whoa. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Long ago, and in many ways, God spoke. And in the past ways that he spoke, he did it in so many different ways. He wrestled with the one man in Genesis. He appeared in dreams to Daniel and others, in Ezekiel, visions that Ezekiel interpreted. David is out in the fields and he gets the thoughts of God and the words of God and writes them down so he could sing them to the people of Israel. Long ago, in many ways. Now, in those days, let's remember, God could talk to anybody, and he did at times, but he used prophets, people set aside to be his messengers. He used priests. Remember, the high priest went into the special room to get the message of God every day, actually, into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. But every day, this, by the way, is the 10 days of Jewish, if any of you have Jewish background or are now, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur leading up in 9 days from now, I think it is, started yesterday. A very special time of forgiveness of sins. Well, in those days, God spoke through these prophets, and he had a clear way. And I just want to say, to help us, help me and all of us be careful, he could have just talked to everybody in Israel. Now, Benjamin, I want you to say this to your kids, but he gave his revelation through the prophets. That doesn't mean it's just the way he works. And we need to know that today, he could speak to any one of us all the time. We wouldn't even need the Bible. So be careful on that. He does have special revelation that always has had that. And God spoke in these last days. Some of them accepted it. Some of them did not. The prophets spoke. Wasn't it Ronald Reagan who was called the grand communicator or the great communicator? He was president of the United States. Some of you are not old enough to remember, but I am. But in these last days, it says, in these last days he has spoken to us through his son. And then he describes his son. Now, obviously, he could not speak to all of us or through all of us like he did the son, so he names some of the positions and abilities and things that his son does, and we just stagger. And this is why we go to church and why we worship at home. In many ways, this is a parent saying, and I want to be careful here, so I said in many ways, not for sure, that this is his last word to the earth. Because it's so loud and clear. Now, in the Old Testament, you have, and it's many books have traced it, you have the progressive revelation of God to people. As early as Genesis chapter 3, he hints, there will be a descendant of a woman who will crush this snake. Genesis 3:15. Later in Genesis, he says there will be descendants of Abraham, and they'll bless the whole world. And we go, huh? In Numbers, he says there will be a star rise out of the tribe of Judah, and everybody will see this shining star. And all through the Old Testament, the prophets gave hints of something to come. He also gave all these rules for life, as if to say to everybody, my way is pretty tight. I mean, if you lived in Leviticus days, you had rules on so many things, and you got stoned if you did some of the sins that are in the headlines today. Well, he gradually showed revelation, and he gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai to say his standards, which are still his standards. But this kept on going till in Malachi at the very end, and in some of the prophets at the very end, he hints that, it's Micah where it says, and watch Bethlehem. Out of Bethlehem will come a star. Whoa, you better be watching for Bethlehem. And then for 400 years, he's quiet. Again, if you talk about God talking to people, you got to you got to go to the Old Testament and say he did it in his own way and progressively hinted at a Messiah and exactly how much he would love the Jews and all of that. And then he said, watch Bethlehem. And then for 400 years, he didn't say a word. That 400 years was interrupted by the gentle knocking of a young man and a young woman on the door of an inn in Bethlehem, and Jesus is born. So in gradual and incomplete ways, he spoke. This is important theology. And in many ways, over centuries. And the contrast here, let me read it again. I think this is one of the most crucial things for anybody that says, we're to walk every day and hear the voice of God giving us direction. And I have talked to people who believe that and read books. Long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Got it. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And then he gives the four things about his Son. It's I want to be careful here, but I'm pretty dogmatic, and you can decide if you will be. This looks like in this, he did it gradually and over centuries, and then he's quiet for four centuries, and then all of a sudden, bang, for the last time, he gives his word. He has, and some people translate this, I would like to, but you can't do it and be faithful to the writing, the Greek, but Jesus is God's word to us, and in some ways, he's the last word. That doesn't mean he doesn't speak again to persons, but it means if you want to know about God, or if you want to know what truth is, look at Jesus. No more special revelations like that. That's for sure. So it's full, it's complete. It's in these last days. That's an important term. The last days started, some say, the moment Jesus left planet Earth, Acts chapter 1. Some say the moment was Jesus was born. Who cares? That was 33 years in between there. But the last days started, and we're still in the last days, and we're in the last of the last days, I would guess, but there's not another section coming. There's no chart that shows the last days. For the last days, he spoke by one message, the Son. Now, handle that and teach that to your children and grandchildren, because there are many people, you know, the famous atheist Ingersoll raised his fist, if God will speak to me, you know, I will believe in him, and he'd make a big public show of that where he could, and God never heard anything, or even strike me dead kind of thing. God has spoken, and he wants us to believe in his Son. Now watch how he describes his Son. This is so amazing. First of all, he's the owner of everything. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. His Son is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. We're not into this so much in our wills, but in those days, if you were the heir, you were already part of the ownership. His Son inherits the universe. In Ephesians 1:11, it says that at the end of time, the Son will take control of all things. In other words, God has designated his Son, God, the owner of the universe, the creator of the universe, has designated his Son as the inheritor of the universe, and already he's part owner. And Jesus the Christ will be acclaimed as Lord and owner of all. Someday it will be visible to everybody. At the future, we believe this. Even various Christians who disagree exactly on when he's going to return all believe that Jesus Christ, in bodily like this, in a risen, glorified body, will return to earth and take to himself the ownership and visible ownership, and every tribe and every nation will hear in their own language or in the special hearing, he is back, he's Lord forever and evermore. I mentioned that missionary who said, I think the shout at the return of Jesus Christ is enough, enough of evil, enough of pain. That's our great hope. So he's the eternal Son of God and heir of a throne that was prophesied way back to Abraham. And your seed will rule over the whole earth and have a blessing. And the blessing is Jesus, a true Jew, and he will inherit the whole world. So he's the owner of everything. He's trying to show this last word through Jesus Christ is pretty significant. The second thing, I don't know why he went in this order, he's the owner of the universe, and he's also the creator of all that is. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Like that. Now, there's a lot of debate, then there's sides taken about six-day creation versus millions and billions of years creation. I personally don't like to get into that debate. I think God said, let there be light, and just like that, boom, there was light. Remember, as if God says it, it is so. When Jesus, we talked about this, it's just a great reminder to me to remind myself, if he says, you're forgiven, whether you feel it or not. If he says, peace be still to the Sea of Galilee, it's done. The storm is over, baby. Right then. He said, that's not something that's true in any of our lives. He is God. So what he says is so. When he said, let there be light, all of a sudden there's light for the first time. When he made man and then woman, is that the order? That's just a joke. I think women should be placed ahead of men all the time. But I digress. He made man, and out of man's rib, he pulls a rib out. Feel down there, man. All of us have one less rib on the right side than on the left. That's not true, but I like to say when I'm telling a lie, it's not true. He's the creator of the universe. He made man and woman, and if you know your Hebrew, when Adam saw Eve, he goes, wow. And he said, I'm going to name her Rose of Sharon. That's in between the lines in the Hebrew. And then God thought, looking ahead, no, Bert won't have anything to say between songs if we do that. So the creator of the universe, that's the second thing he is. Now, hang on there for a moment. Sometimes don't be diverted by turning to it. Just listen to this description of Jesus by Paul. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn, leading one of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. All things were created through him and for him. Whoa. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Huh? If you're in science, you'll have to forgive me because I'm not good at this at all, but the revolving in the atom and the proton and neutron, I heard you, Hugh Ross, I think I mentioned that, this brilliant scientist, talk about everything is held together. An atomic explosion is when the atoms explode. When Christ returns, in a sense, everything will not be held together anymore as he remakes planet Earth. But he's the creator of the universe who, with the word of his mouth or the intent of his mind today, holds everything together. Whoa. So, when you think about God speaking to us today, we can differ on how this voice in our head, when it's God and when it's conscience and when it's just our thoughts. But don't play down how God has spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says we have all we need to know for life and godliness through Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Why? Because He's the owner of everything. He's the creator of the universe. He holds it all together. So pay attention. We took our staff once on a raft trip down in the from the chapel at the New River in West Virginia, which they say is almost heaven. It's not very close, but it's that's what a fun song says. Before the Doug Clark, a wonderful guy on our staff and man of man, had planned the raft trip, and before we went, husbands and wives, the agent from the rafting company gave a death speech. A death speech is a 7-8 minute speech where he tells you, you will die if you don't listen to the guides. In each raft is a guide and about 5 people. He said the river is up to 9.5 feet above regular level. At 10 feet above, we cancel trips. So it's going to be, it was a serious, serious talk. I'm sitting there thinking, this is our staff, and if one of us dies, it's not going to say in the front page of the Beacon Journal in Akron, a member of Doug Clark's staff died in a rafting accident. It's going to say, guess what Newt Larson did now? So he gave this speech. Most of the men are crying, holding their wife's hands. And I, true story, I always tell you, I walked up to him while everybody was milling around. He gave a speech. It was very quiet. I mean, and I walked up to him and I said, I want to cancel our trip. I did. He said, who are you? I said, I'm the senior pastor. I'm not letting this staff go on that dangerous a trip. And I was serious. I didn't even tell Doug. He looked at me and he said, no, it's okay. He said, I have to give that death speech for 2 reasons. One, the insurance company makes me. Serious. 2, they won't listen to the guide unless I tell them how serious this is. He said, we'll be all right. I said, okay. We made it. But isn't that funny? From that day on, the death speech, he said, they won't listen to the guide. You know, the guide says, they had signals, it wasn't this, but row on the left, and everybody said, don't tell us what to do, you know, like at church. We're not going to do that just because you said so. When the class leader says something or the pastor, you know, you've had that experience. And so we listen. And when our guide, Janine and I were in a boat, we always sit together when we raft. She said, I want to go on the other raft, get to know those people. No, let's go down together. Because I wanted to say thank you for everything on the way down. When the guide said, pull on the left, we didn't say, how do you know? Who are you? I'm older than you are. These were just students at Appalachian Bible College. No, baby, we listened. Those of you from the chapel remember from that day on, before church service started on Sunday, I gave a death speech. I said, if you don't do what we're about to say and believe these songs and this sermon, you could die and go to hell. People would listen. I remember that. People at the church always listen like that. That's a lie. Do I have to say every time? I did not teach LeBron everything he knows about basketball. I'd say half of it. The third one, this is very important about God speaking today. Because you're going to hear my hobby horse 10 times this whole week, but one is, if he said this so loud and clear, and this is who he sent, we're not supposed to stand there and say, tell me more. We're supposed to follow his son, Jesus Christ. This is the day of the Lord, and the future is the day of the Lord when he returns. He said, John 14:9, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Have I been so long with you, he said, and you don't know that the words that I speak are the very words of God, and everything you see me do. I love to say he loved people of all sizes and shapes. Children would run to sit on his lap. The lepers had a saying among them, he's one of us. Not because he healed them all, but he loved them all and he touched them when nobody would. In the hell that he faced, he showed us what heaven is like. They pulled out his whiskers, a pliers at a time, and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they were doing. I think in the campfires in the evening, he was fun but serious. I'm sure a number of times he drew Peter over to the side and said, Peter, you did it again. Don't talk like that. Don't blurt stuff out, Peter. Can't you see him talking to Peter? I love that John, one of his best friends, casually in the Bible says, that disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't name himself out of humility, but everybody knows who he means. I'm the pastor that Jesus loves most. I don't want to name me. He's the perfect image of God. So when Ingersoll stands there and shakes his fist, or when a Christian says, we got to hear more, God the Father might say, I have spoken. I don't mean he can't guide us and he can't say to me, don't do that. I don't mean he can't reveal himself to an emergency, as he often does. That's not the issue. But if we want God talking to us all the time, I'm sure, I must be careful there about God, but he has spoken in these last times by his son, who is like God, like Moses found out in Exodus 34, who's gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, but must judge someday. He's loving and faithful and forgiving, instead of, well, my idea of Jesus, I've had people say this to me, I'm sure you have, well, my idea of Jesus is, well, that's really, I'm careful, I represented the chapel well, I think, but I often want to say to people, who do you think you are? That your idea of God is what everybody, my idea is God would never judge sin, my neighbors told me that. I was trying to share something of the grace of God. He said, my daddy said God would never judge sinners. I said, and this is a good question, I think. I learned it from somebody. Where did you get that? Where did your daddy get that? He said, I don't know. I said, you're basing your life and your eternity on something your dad said, and you don't know where he got it. People do that all the time. Well, my idea of God, or I feel God, okay, listen to them, but then say, but God has revealed himself through Jesus Christ, who spoke pretty clearly about heaven and hell. Jesus, as someone wrote, where love and mercy meet full time. The Psalm even says that mercy kisses justice. At the cross, alludes to that. He dies with all your sins on his back. He's the owner of everything, creator of the universe, perfect God of perfect God, and he's wounded for our transgressions. And when we believe in him, that counts for us. His righteousness covers us when we believe in him. Any questions? We live then this way. We had a practice at the chapel for 25 years, and before me too, but I stopped at the last year because in culture you have to decide how you're going to do this. But people came forward to, at the end of the service, we sang a song, and they came to the front to either say, I want to trust Christ as Savior today, or I want to make known my faith in Jesus Christ and desire to be a member of the church. I like the practice because it made you go public, but in the culture that we live in, it's often connected with old-time sawdust trail. So I understand. But I always said when they came forward, shook their hand, what's your name? Why have you come? You don't have time to say, how you doing? Where we? I saw where you were. No. Why have you come? One guy whom I knew pretty well said, I want to join, but do I have to give up my visitor's parking place? And I'm watching, all these people are watching my face, and I said, I just talked to him the other day. I said, John, you know, that was dirty. One guy said, I want some change. And he meant, I want some money. So some were difficult. But one day I said, why have you come? And there were like five couples, or four couples and another person or two. And I said, why have you come? And he swallowed hard. He got all red in the face, or white, I forget which. Couldn't talk. And I thought, he has really been moved and under conviction. He couldn't answer. He's almost choking. And I turned to his wife and I said, why have you come? And she said, well, we're both Christians and we want to join the church. We want people to know. He stood there but never said anything. And we always had new members in our home for the first class, a dinner to get to know them. And that Thursday, he joined, got right in the new members class even. He came up to me. His name's Jim, and he said to me, I need to explain Sunday. I said, yeah, you were nervous. Why have you come? He thought I said, what's with the gum? And he had this big wad of gum in his mouth, and he swallowed it immediately. That was his choking. And then he said, we just both laughed about it. Why have you come? Well, same meter as what's with the gum. You know, he thinks, well, who's the Pope telling me I can't have gum in church? But he swallowed it. Anyway, that doesn't have anything to do with our talk. I just saw two people sleeping, and I thought I'd try to wake them up, make them wish they'd have stayed awake. Did I turn it off? Okay, from now on, our secret signal is in. He's the sustainer of the universe also. And, well, look what it says here in Colossians. Excuse me, Hebrews. Lost my place, lost my clicker. One time, not long ago, I told the guy, if the clicker goes bad, which sometimes it does, I'll point to you. Every time I move my arms, he changed the slides. I pointed to the screen, and boom! I had to stop in the middle of the sermon in a very nice way and say, Janine, when... he holds it all together. Sustainer of the universe. And I type something, my friend Fred, to be truthful. I can't make a PowerPoint if I ever had to. But let's go to the next slide. Some of the ways that he sustains the universe. The direction of history. Daniel says, I think this is so smart, Alec, of Daniel. And nobody ever says to him, what are you doing? Look it up, Daniel 4:35. Nobody ever says to the Lord, what have you done? He sets up kings and takes them down. I don't understand that. I don't think he voted for Trump. I don't think he voted in the last election. Don't get off on that. I'm just saying, behind the scenes, God is Lord, and he'll make it work together for good. Secondly, all the complexities of created beings and the created universe. Janine, would you hand me my phone, please? They're all kept together. Thank you, babe. Can we sit together at home? They're all kept together by the Lord. That Colossians passage that says he holds everything together. So he's the sustainer of the universe. He keeps history in its right direction. He holds it together, the complexities of the universe. And the atom, I don't get that at all. But everybody knows he does something there. Hey, Siri, how many galaxies are in the universe?
According to NASA, as of 2016, the number of galaxies in the observable universe is 2 trillion.
Any questions? 2 trillion galaxies. And we have billions of stars in our galaxy, and there are 2 trillion of them, the scientists say, in the whole universe. He holds them together, but the complexities, meaning life itself, the direction of history. And the third one, I got on there wrong. That's true, the climax of time. But the one I forgot was the availability of grace. He's in charge of that. We're his representatives and to share it. But this is the Lord God and what he's in charge of. So when you say, I wish God would speak to me, first say, look how he has spoken to us in Jesus Christ. And here are as delightful as a words as anywhere in the Bible about salvation, but succinct. And verse 3, he is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, that's an Old Testament word, he's writing to the Hebrews. After he cleansed all the sins, put them on the Lamb, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much superior to the angels. So his provision was he made purification for sins, and he sat down. You know this. You've heard it in flannel graph stories when you were little, maybe. And in theology books, it's very clear. There were no chairs in the temple. After he gave one sacrifice, the next day he's back giving another one. The Day of Atonement next year, here we go again. The Holy of Holies, give another sacrifice. There were no chairs in the temple. It was a symbol. You never quit. You don't sit down. He sat down. And there's great theology. Don't get into the right hand of God. There's a lot of jokes about it. He sat on the right hand of the... No, this is really important. He sat down. It is finished. And our part is to believe him. And his position is so clear. He sat down. And therefore, in Jesus Christ, we have God's word to us. And his word is, I love you. More than anything else. Don't ask him to tell you that again. He showed it in this brilliant way, in this wonderful way. And we spend our time arguing and fighting about nuances of words and little things. And in this amazing letter written to Jews, he said, let me tell you what God said to us. Well, you know the Old Testament, how he kept telling all these things. Now, Hebrews, I need to tell you this. And Maranatha, I need to say it to me and you. God has spoken. He will still help us in so many ways. If you're sure it's God telling you to do something, for sure do it. Don't you dare say, I'll think about it. But mostly he says, you know what I want to say to you. Here it is, in the Word and in Jesus, his loud voice, and we obey him. And Jesus, with all these credentials, is the one in whom we live and move. and have our being spiritually. And when we go to heaven, we will stand there and not have to say, well, here's the way I... We just say, I'm with Christ. I'm with your Son. I love him. And we say, I heard the word you gave me. And then we follow him. Let's pray. Sing with me as we pray. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Lord, we do praise you right now. In the meantime, just for speaking to the world in your gorgeous, precious, amazing Son, Jesus Christ. Gorgeous in his abilities, beautiful and in his humility and his grace, but also his love. Help us abide in him, please. And we stand in him as our only real confidence. We pray in this name, Jesus, the one who walked on water and raised the dead and will someday allow the universe to explode in a sense as it's remade. Jesus, our Savior. Amen.